Microtransactions and loot boxes were just removed from one racing game series but added to another. Plus, soon you can play racing games inside real expensive cars. Tonight is August 5th, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akeripa from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Everybody's going crazy about the guy from The Walking Dead being in Tekken 7. Like, that's like breaking news. So breaking that I'm going to talk about it right now and then not talk about it for the rest of the hour. But there, I covered it here on a breaking news edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. You can get some breaking news and interact with the show over at our chat room, live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And if you are logged in through the site, you can actually check in and get some points on our August leaderboard, just like SJ100 Matt and Veronica Isabel. They checked in at some point during the intro of the show while we were all talking about the guy from The Walking Dead being a fighter in Tekken 7. Or if you're listening to the podcast feed, you can listen for a passphrase somewhere in the episode. Put it in on the site during the next week, before the next episode goes up, and you can get the exact same amount of points. And I'd love you for it. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word. You can call toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on an episode over at VogNetwork.com when they go up. I know I am a little behind. Some things happened this week that kind of made things go a little bit behind. There might also not be a live show next Sunday night. I don't know right now. I won't know until midweek or even the day of, but I might not be live next Sunday night, which I guess is August 12th, I want to say. Might not have a live show that night, but I don't know right now. Let's talk about the end of the month. I want to talk about the end of the month for a second. Dragon Con here in Atlanta is Labor Day weekend, so memberships are still available. Even though, if you try to get into PAX, you can come to Dragon Con, and the video gaming area at Dragon Con gets bigger and bigger every year, probably because not everybody goes to PAX anymore, so they're willing to come down to Dragon Con. And so you can get some of that stuff. I know there's going to be some esports tournaments going on and stuff. I know a big one's happening in Vegas right now. So thank you for being here and listening instead of watching Evo. But I was accepted as a registered professional again. Apparently, I didn't even have to go to the second round. So thank you to DragonCon for that. Apparently Rob was the same way. I don't even know if I've told Rob this or if he knows, but apparently at DragonCon, when you submit to be a registered professional, which is like a guest, but you don't get your picture in the program like a TV show guest or a comic book artist would get. And attending professionals are, kind of like the next tier down from guest status, but we still get one free badge and we get our name in the program and stuff. A lot of times if you submit and they don't exactly know who you are or think that you're a good fit, they actually send your information down to the track directors, which is what happened last year for both of us and the podcasting track directors. Like, yes, let them in. Apparently this year, they didn't even send us down. They're like, yep, Bobby and Rob, let them in. So congratulations to us. We are actually moderating a whole bunch of panels. I actually got in touch finally with the director of the video gaming track at Dragon Con, which is like this impenetrable fortress, it seems like. And I finally got 60 seconds with him at Southern Fried Gaming Expo and gave the elevator pitch for both myself and Rob. And then we reached out and we are moderating panels. I will let Rob on OLR tell you what panels he's moderating. He's got some fun ones. I got some more of the technical ones, which is actually the ones I asked for. Rob, I mean, he's going to be famous. His agent is Mr. Smush, his cat. So you're going to have to, especially after you hear what panels he's moderating. Like, and what's sad is that one of the panels I'm moderating is at the same time as one of his. And I'm like, man, I wish I could be in that panel with him. But I am actually moderating six panels across two of the different tracks. Basically, Dragon Con's panels are split up into tracks. And I think there's like 26 tracks. And they range from American sci-fi to, you know, the Trek track. There's a Star Wars track. But there's like the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation track. There's the space track. That's where all the NASA astronauts come in and give panels. All in one convention. Dragon Con is a very special flower. There's nothing else like it in the convention circuit. So I am actually working across the video game and the podcasting track in a moderator capacity. So when you listen to these, like there's like one of them where I'm not the moderator of the panel. The others, I'm actually moderating it for people that are more smarter than I am. And I know my moderating skills got written up in Variety magazine, which I have told that I don't have to say what I was written up, but now I can actually say that I've been featured in Variety.com. And that's actually something I can use as a bullet point on how important I am. I don't have to tell them in what capacity I was mentioned, but I am a better moderator than that. And so here's where I'm going to be. Friday is actually my big day, which is good because I'm not going to be drunk yet. So Friday at 10 a.m., like I said, it's going to be good. I'm not going to be drunk yet. I'll actually wake up early on Friday. It'll be fine. I am going to be in the video game track over at the Westin in the Augusta A and B ballrooms talking with mobile game development. And they were very nice. I want to also say that the video game track was very nice in that in one panel each that Rob and I are moderating, in the program they actually say, like, Bobby Blackwolf of the Vogue Network. And there's one from Rob that says Rob Roberts of the Vogue Network. So thank you so much for that, for just giving that us that quick little plug in the program. So Bobby Blackwolf of the Vogue Network hosts a panel discussion on mobile game development featuring some of the developers and artists who work on The Simpsons Tapped Out. So I am moderating that panel. So I guess I need to, in the next month, play The Simpsons Tapped Out, which I will do that. Immediately after that, Friday at 11:30 a.m., over in one of the other Augusta ballrooms, so same floor in the Westin, this is going to be funny. Introduction to shoutcasting, which my definition of shoutcasting and the actual definition of shoutcasting are different. And I knew this going in, and so even though what's funny is this podcast, we actually broadcast our live internet radio, is on a shoutcast server. And I think that's actually where the term shoutcasting came from, is because people were using shoutcast to do it, and now they're doing it on Twitch, and they still call it shoutcasting. But it's learn more about how your personality can add insight, color, and excitement to the esports universe, and how to start your own shoutcasting stream from experienced Dragon Con shoutcasters. So I am moderating the panel, and they actually don't even list any other tentative panelists, probably because the other panelists are not registered professionals. So I only have a list of the people that are actually like attending on behalf, you know, at the grace of Dragon Con, and not the people that have regular badges that are on panels, which is how I was on panels for a long time. So I'm moderating a panel about that. And then that night at 7 o'clock, I'm on the podcasting track over in the Hilton in Galleria 6, which is where all the podcasting track stuff is. With Interaction Real Time, The Art of Live Podcasting, which is actually the panel that Rob and I submitted to the podcasting track. Live streaming services on Twitch and YouTube are easier to use than ever before. More people are taking their recorded podcast in front of a live audience. Bobby Blackwolf and Rob Roberts of the Voice Geeks Network have been doing their podcast live since the early 2000s, before it was easy. So SJ Winner Matt says, Bobby is the only professional. Well, there's Rob's a professional too, but he's not on that shoutcasting panel with me. That's true. So we are actually going to be doing that with a couple other people that do their podcast live on Twitch and YouTube, because that's kind of the new thing. The way we do it the old hard way. Like, we're using like an old shoutcast server. We're using IRC. We're using Skype. Everybody else uses like this all new technology that was developed in the last couple years, and we're still clinging to this 2005 technology. And then, so Friday is my big day. Saturday at 7 p.m., I'm back in the podcasting track. Social media for digital creators, 7 o'clock p.m. in Hilton Galleria 6. Patreon, Twitter, Tumblr, Ko-fi, Ko-fi. I think it's Ko-fi, but it looks like Ko-fi. Facebook, Instagram, and more social media outlets can be overwhelming. We'll discuss how to know which one is right for you. And then I'm back on the video gaming track Sunday at 5:30, which is going to be in the Westin, Augusta A and B. The future of user interfaces in video games. And so we'll be looking at the user interfaces and technology used by characters in video game universes and investigate possible parallels between what we experience through virtual characters and what we could experience firsthand in the future. And apparently I looked and I looked at some of these panelists, and essentially they're all professors from Georgia Tech. And the reason I bring that up, and there might be like one or two people that may understand why that panel is going to be extremely difficult for me. SJ1R Matt might be one of those people. But they went from Georgia Tech. I graduated from the University of Georgia. So it's going to be really hard for me to be on that panel. And SJ1R Matt might understand why. But you also got to understand college football is like religion down here in the South. So and Matt does say, oh, my. So he gets it. So I'm going to have to just go to my happy place for an hour. And he says, at least both of us hate Bama. This is true. This is true. And then Sunday, 2:30 p.m., back in the podcasting track in the Hilton, Ask a Creator Anything. The final panel every year is the Ask a Creator Anything. We sit around without microphones or stages and converse with experts and newbies alike. We reflect on the con and wait to improve it for the next year, all while exchanging wisdom and ideas. So it's kind of funny. That one, there's no panelists, but he put me on that panel anyway just to get me another credit in the program, which I thank him for. Charles McFall, who is the podcasting track director. He is the Rock Out of Podcasting from Giant Size Team Up Network. And he is doing great things. This is his first year officially as the track director, and he is getting things done at Dragon Con. And so thanks to him, and thanks to Kevin, who is the track director over at the video game track, for listening to my elevator pitch. Gave me 60 seconds of his time, and now I'm moderating three panels, and Rob is moderating four. He's actually doing – so Rob's got eight. He's got 4 and 4, and I got 3 and 3. So I think it's just – I'm quality. I think that's what it is. I've got the quality panels. So, but yeah, and Rob will be able to tell his schedule and post it up. I've actually got it posted up on the Facebook page, my Facebook page and my Twitter page. I just actually posted up some stuff. Come say hi. We are going to have a suite in the room. It's not going to be really, we're not going to really party up there, but I am going to be bringing my HTC Vive again. So there will be some Beat Sabering going on in the Vogue suite at Dragon Con this year. So if you want to come up, you can't just show up, but, we will absolutely, let you come in and have some Beat Saber time. So this week I still have, been playing No Man's Sky. I have actually played more No Man's Sky now than I did in 2016. Which was not a very high bar, but I have been playing it a little more. I have invaded Rob's game. So my initial game that I started when No Man's Sky Next came out, I kind of abandoned. And the new game I made with Rob on stream, that's become my new game. And I'm learning that it's yes, there's online, and yes, there's multiplayer, but it's not a persistent universe. Essentially, where we are in the game is, I've built a base on the same planet as Rob. In fact, I'm like right across the lake from Rob. I can see Rob's base from my base, but Rob could not see my base at all. And when you upload your base, you upload all the bases that are in your save file up to the cloud. Now, this does not delete from another save game because it turns out the save file is the source of truth. If you're a programmer, you understand that term, the source of truth. So even though he didn't have my base in his game, it did not disappear from me. Once we did sync up, and I actually had to be in the same on the same planet, then I guess I have to be in the same universe, because what wound up happening is he joined my game. I was continuing the story, so I was in another universe. or in another solar system at the time. And he didn't see my base. So he went up to the space station, and then I teleported back to my base because I had a teleporter in my base. And then I looked over, and I saw that his base had updated because I knew on Twitch he had put a complete roof on his base, and I didn't see that complete roof. I saw the old version of his base. And it wasn't until he joined my game that it actually updated his base in my game, and it updated my base in his game. And also, like, some of the things I've named, he also named, and so there's some collision there with named species and uploaded species. I'm not seeing all of his planet names. I think he finally did get the universe name that I named our universe of Voglandia. And they're asking, who is Russia and who is Alaska? Well, obviously, I'm Russia. Obviously. Rob's going to be Alaska. I'm going to be Russia. And Dungeon Buster said, I visited one time and couldn't see either base, which was kind of bizarre. The icons said they were there, but they just weren't. And also, I was like seeing a base that Rob, like, was attributed to Rob on one of the other planets in the system. I'm like, this planet's very toxic. I can't see Rob building a base on a planet this toxic. That's just not like Rob. And I went there, and I'm like, I wonder. Like, did maybe he built a base so he could get back to a cave that had cobalt. And he built that base near a cave that had some cobalt because there's a few caves on the blissful planet that we're on. And I'm like, well, maybe he did that. And no, it was just like I got there and there was nothing. And I sent pictures to Rob. And he's like, do you honestly think I would build a base on a planet that has acid rain? I mean, cut me some slack here. And but yeah, Voglandia, I noticed, did come up in last night's stream. I was out, or I would have joined in. But apparently Madonna is banned. Like, he tried to name a planet Madonna, and it was the profanity filter. So, like, I'm with him. I think Lady Gaga is in charge of the profanity filter over there at No Man's Sky. But what I actually did today is I installed No Man's Sky because, everybody's going to be like, oh, boy, first world stuff. But I did not get rid of my launch day PlayStation 4 when I went to the PS4 Pro because I am very fortunate enough to be in a situation where I don't need to do that financially. So the PS4 that I can stream from is my launch day PS4, and I moved my hard drive down, so that's where it was installed initially. But I went ahead and installed No Man's Sky on that PS4 so I can hook up some streaming equipment because I'm playing it so much I might as well stream it some and see what we can do. So I've got that set up today. I don't have the streaming set up right now, but maybe, I don't know if what Rob's planning on doing after OLR tonight. But now I am capable of streaming No Man's Sky from my living room. So and Rob says no post show stream tonight, so maybe I can stream. I can stream some No Man's Sky, and you can see what I did, because I went a little bit different. So this is actually a pro tip. Hashtag pro tip for No Man's Sky. So in your multi-tool, you'll have like one spot extra, and you'll be like, ooh, I should get the advanced mining laser. No, you shouldn't. And I know Rob already did this, but you shouldn't. What you should do is go up to the space station. You go to the guy that you can purchase new multi-tool things, and you have to go through and look. And what you're looking for, and it's going to cost about 450 nanites, is you want to look for a scanner upgrade that's rank S. And the reason you want to do that is if you install that, it will multiply the units, which is the currency you get for scanning fauna and flora, so animals and plants, by some amount. So I think I get like 9,000 times units for scanning, a new animal. So basically, what I'm saying, is I went and I scanned an animal on another planet, and instead of getting like 2,000 units, I got like 65,000 units. It was fantastic. Like, all I got to do if I need money is I just go to a planet I haven't been to and just scan like all the plants and animals. And I'm rich. I'm rich. So basically, you need to go. Each space station has different things in there, and they have different modules and stuff. And you want to look, and you don't want like a C class. You absolutely want an S class, and it's like scanner upgrade or something. But the description will say that you get more units for scanning things, and it also like adds like how far you can scan and stuff, but you don't care about that. You care about the units, and then it's randomly generated from there. So you don't know how much of a multiplayer you get until you buy it, which kind of sucks. But if you get an S-Class, it's going to be something amazing. And Dungeon Bus says the bonus is stacked too, so the more of those you have, the higher bonus. So that's how you get your 1 million credits to buy these big-ass ships that you see. That's how you get them. See, pro tip from Bobby Blackwolf. But I'm still, like, I haven't gotten a freighter yet, because I think, like, the freighter pops in, and or the frigate, I guess. It pops in, and you're supposed to defend it, and then you go in, and the guy's like, hey, you want a free ship? And you're like, sure, I want a free ship, and then you get a free ship, and it's amazing. And then you can send it out on missions and make more credits that way. So I am still enjoying it right now. I do know that eventually it's going to get a little old. I have played a little bit in creative mode, so I know like there is a lot more base building I can do rather than these wooden bases. Like they give you prefabs at one point, and you can get all this other stuff that I'm like, that'd be cool to have in my base. And I'm like, oh, you know, like I got to go find the blueprint for glass now, because I was like, oh, I can make some windows in my base. And they're like, oh, yeah, you need this unit, this, and you need glass, and you need to make glass. And I haven't found the blueprint for glass yet. So there's still a little bit of that to do and a little bit of grinding. And I know not to shoot at eggs. I don't need any biological horrors, although they can't climb. So I have seen like a clip of some one person. There's these biological eggs, and they're usually around abandoned bases, but they can't climb. So what you do is you go down, you shoot the thing, you get the egg, and then you jump up to the top of the base until the swarm subsides. And then you go down, you get the next one. And then they don't scare you as much. But yeah, so maybe I will stream a little bit tonight after OLR, so about midnight Eastern. It's okay. I'm okay with that. I don't need to wake up early. It's good. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Scooter. So let's talk about some of the news that came out this week. And this is the first one is actually was suggested through our Discord channel. So we closed up the forums. The forums are read only. So now you got to go to Discord. So go to vognetwork.com/Discord to get the invite to our Discord server. We have specific text channels for certain shows here on the network. This one was suggested to me because they know that I drive this car. And so Engadget reports about the Tesla car. So, yes, I do drive a Tesla Model S. I've actually had it for a little over 3 years now. It's not the Model 3, which is like the affordable one that's gotten all the news lately. So mine's the older one. But Elon Musk has promised that some of the best Atari games will be playable in Tesla cars as part of the version 9.0 software update coming in roughly 4 weeks. Now, let me first say, okay, as somebody who has owned a Tesla for 3 years, okay, we are currently on, I think, version 8.1. I bought the car, and they had just gone to version 6.2. So I've been through a couple of these major software revisions and updates. In fact, like, the car interface looks completely different now than it did when I bought it. So, like, I walk in the car, and it's a different car, even though physically the car didn't change. The insides and how it works actually did change, and it's neat the way that works. But he says 4 weeks. Now, Elon time is analogous to Valve time. So I am actually going to say, you know what, I'm looking forward to this in December. It's not going to come out in 4 weeks. He has never been correct on these on the dates of when the major new software updates are coming out. So I actually am going to try to figure out if I can stream me playing Atari games in the car. The reason I got to figure it out is because it's like depends on like where I think I, you know, it's how strong the Wi-Fi signal is in my car, because I can take my laptop in there. That's fine. But, you know, what I need to do to actually stream from inside the car and not have it be a jittery mess. But I might be able to do it. And yeah. So Elon time, it's very much like Valve time. I'm very used to the fact of, oh, he says 4 weeks. He didn't say 4 weeks starting from which date. Or he'll say like, oh, it's going to come out in the fall. But he doesn't tell you which year. He just says the fall. And it could be any fall. It could be fall 2024, for all I care. Now, he did not provide a full list of titles, but he indicated that Missile Command, Pole Position, and Tempest would ideally be part of the release, which will make them available as Easter eggs. And crucially, you won't be just tapping the stream or twiddling thumb wheels. For Pole Position, you'll use the car's steering wheel to drive in the game. He also not so subtly hinted that more was in the works, suggesting that game developers should apply to Tesla to make games that use the center touchscreen, phone, and car in real life. In that regard, you could think of the Atari ports as Tesla dipping its toe in the gaming waters. Although you probably wouldn't jump in your Model 3 to play a game, this could be an entertaining way to pass the time while you're waiting for a friend in the parking lot or while you're supercharging on a long trip. Just saying. So there are other Easter eggs in the car. I used to do videos about them back when I was a YouTuber doing that. And it's like, you know, one of them turns the autopilot system into Rainbow Road, and it has like this rainbow showing off at the bottom. There was one kind of like that, which is great in December, in Christmas time, that turns your car into Santa's sleigh, and it puts like snow on the graphic screen in front of you. And then like whenever you use the turn signals, it actually is sleigh bells for the turn signal instead of the click. So that's kind of neat. There's some other like kind of neat fun stuff, like you can turn your car into the Mars Curiosity rover, and so instead of Google Earth, it's Google Mars, and so it actually shows you driving around Mars on the center screen instead of the actual navigation where you need to go. And there's some other stuff, like just some neat stuff. If you name, you can name your car, at least in the Model S and X, you can actually name your car. And if you put in the name of your car is 42, it automatically changes it to the life, universe, and everything. Then another Easter egg that's not really an Easter egg, but everything, all the dials, like volume, fan speed, everything, they all go to 11. It's not 1 to 10. It's 1 to 11. So it's a fun car. Some people are not as happy with the company. Some people are not as happy with Elon's tweets about other things. I get it. I understand it. I do not own stock in the company. I was not smart enough to get in on it many, many years ago. I decided to buy the car. Owning the car is a lot more fun than owning stock in the company. I will say that. SJ Winner Matt says, I've been reading the reviews on the 3, and it sounds like a good trip. On top of that, and Bobby singing their praises, I really want to get a Tesla someday. Right now, I can't afford one, and I completely understand that. Like, it's, I am, once again, fortunate. Very fortunate with some of the financial decisions I've made in my life. The credit that I had to be able to pull it off. He also suggests you could play these games stuck in New York City or LA traffic. I am 99.5% sure that these games would only work when the car is off. And when I say off, I mean like not just in park, but actually like you haven't actually started the driving portion of the car yet. So yeah, so it's gonna hopefully my car will still be able to run these stuff because they have updated graphics chips in some of those screens since I bought the car. So it's up to you know whatever their emulator uses if I can do it in my car. But if I can, I will try because I think it'd be hilarious to stream on Twitch and put like a webcam like and watch me play Pole Position with my Tesla steering wheel and you know call it like First World Problems or something. I don't know. SJ Winter Matt says, it makes sense. Then again, Elon made a flamethrower for public use. He did not make a flamethrower. What he did is he bought a blowtorch that you can buy at Home Depot. He's talking about the boring company flamethrowers for his little the Hyperloop stuff. He bought a blowtorch from Home Depot, like that you can get at Home Depot, and he slapped the boring company's logo on it and sold it to Tesla fanatics for way over how much you buy them at Home Depot. So no, they're blowtorches. That's all they are. He calls them a flamethrower, but they're blowtorches. Ron Mass, wouldn't you be able to upgrade that hardware module? Yes, actually. I do believe that they are going to start allowing the center console upgrades, and I think it's like $500 or $600. I'm actually going to ask on my next service visit, which is very soon. Actually, I should have already done my third-year service visit, but I haven't yet. But I'm actually going to ask and see when they're going to be offering that. Because like I've also got like the old 3G antenna And like 2 weeks later, they start after I ordered my car and they made it, they started putting 4G antennas in all the cars. So I missed out on the 4G network. So I'm still on 3G. First world problems. Hashtag first world problems. It's no, but it works just fine. But yes, but they can actually upgrade me to the next generation screen. I just got to see how much that costs and when I can schedule it and all that stuff. But like some people are saying, this is actually going to happen on the center screen. So I don't know if like this the screen, and when I say the center, what some of these games they're saying is going to actually work in the instrument cluster, which is like in front of the steering wheel. Like, so it's kind of like the dashboard. The Model 3 doesn't have it, but the Model S does. The Model S and X does have a screen behind the steering wheel, where the Model 3, it's like, no, all the stuff's on the iPad in the middle, and it's vents. And so there's no dials. It's really weird. It's really interesting. It's very different driving experience. Anyway, Tesla the flamethrower, Tesla the cereal, Tesla the lunchbox, Tiger Claws, like Tesla the flamethrower actually already has a flamethrower. I'm like, yeah, we already talked about the blowtorch. Anyway, this is not a Tesla podcast. It's a video game podcast. But let's talk about more racing games. We're going to talk about some games that don't have Teslas in them for whatever reason. They used to, but then they lost the license or something, so now there's no Teslas in the game anymore. Eurogamer reports that developer Turn 10 has announced it will be removing prize crates Forza Motorsport 7's version of loot boxes from the game this coming winter. Turn 10's Alan Hartman explained the process of untangling prize crates from the game's many systems was very complex, which is why the change won't be immediate. For the time being, cars have been completely removed from prize crates, and they offer no competitive advantage. They now only contain cosmetic items such as driver gear and badges, and the mods that can be used to increase rewards in single player. Cars previously exclusive to prize crates has been unlocked and can be bought normally. They were very unpopular with the Forza community, which may be why they were never put for sale for real money in the game's marketplace, despite apparently being designed for the purpose. The prize crates seemed overdeveloped and intrusive to many. There was also a couple of other like poorly worded changes to the VIP membership system and stuff like that. Turn 10 and Microsoft have gone farther, however, in seeking to clear the stink of loot boxes, microtransactions, and pay-to-win from Forza. In the same blog post, Hartman announced that paid tokens would not be coming to Forza Motorsport 7 or Forza Horizon 4, which is due for release in October. Tokens were a secondary currency in many previous Forza games, which could be purchased with real money and used in-game to buy cars, although they did confer advantage in the sense that they provided a paid shortcut to faster or more exotic vehicles. It has to be said they were never as controversial with Forza players as the prize crates have been. But still, out they go. It seems there's now a zero-tolerance policy for microtransactions and loot boxes within the Forza game. So kudos to them. I actually never used the prize crate system in Forza 7. I've been going back, you know, I'm still going through it a little bit. And you can actually buy those prize crates with the money you buy in the game, you know, the money that you get. In the game. So they never, you know, I never thought about even looking to see if I could spend real money. But I bought like one or two of them and I'm like, oh, yay, they're mods that get me some more money. But I've already got like millions of credits that I'm not spending because I'm not like maxing out my garage or anything like that. So I'm like, I don't really need these or the XP boost. Like I didn't need it. So I didn't use them. But it's good to see that they're finally listening and saying, hey, maybe these aren't the best idea. It also might be because in Europe, they're like, oh, these are, you know, illegal now, or, you know, now it's gambling. And so it makes it harder to justify them having them in your game when you got to spend all that money trying to justify to governments about your product being gambling. But they also mentioned that they're taking them out of Forza Horizon 4, which is probably much easier now because it hasn't come out yet. So that's good. I'm happy for that. Tiger Claw says, if you put a Tesla in a racing game, you wouldn't hear anything. The car would just run silent. Well, to be fair, just because they're not in Forza Motorsport 7 doesn't mean they haven't had Teslas before. Forza Horizon 3, my main car is a Tesla. They actually had them in Forza Horizons 2 and 3, and then Forza Motorsport 5 had a Tesla Roadster. I don't think a Model S has ever been in a Forza Motorsport game. But and I think there was a Tesla in 5 or 6. I think it was a Model S. I know a Roadster was in the last Xbox 360 Forza. But yes, you would still hear something because physics dictates that you can hear the tires on the road. So Teslas are not silent, especially in the summer. Okay. If the AC is on, it sounds like a jet engine. So my car can get pretty darn loud, especially if it's like 98 degrees like it was today. But no, like once you get over 20 miles an hour, you can absolutely hear an electric car coming because you hear the tires going across the pavement, and that creates probably more noise than the engine does in a gas car. So they're not silent. And in fact, what's interesting is when I met, I interviewed the producer of the Forza Motorsport series back at Siege, he actually said in order for them to get the audio for tire noises, they actually used a Tesla because that isolated the tire noise, so the squealing of tires and all that stuff, because they didn't have to worry about trying to edit out the engine. They just used a Tesla. So, or they could use any electric vehicle, but he said they actually used the Tesla for it. But let's say you wanted microtransactions. Well, guess what? Sony's got you covered. Because Eurogamer reports that Gran Turismo Sport's big July update, which brings Polyphony Digital's PlayStation 4 Racer up to version 1.23, has just dropped, bringing in with it new cars, a new track, and for the first time with this particular iteration of Gran Turismo, microtransactions that allow players to buy existing cars within the game. So they're going to be, like, they showed in Japanese, like, 100 yen up to a peak of 300 yen, which is about $2 for all cars that are under 2 million in-game credits, with more luxurious cars still having to be earned. So if you want to pay real money for a racing game and you're really upset that Forza has taken that option away from you, don't worry. Gran Turismo, 1 week later, said, fine, we will take your money. If Forza does not want your money to buy cars, then we'll take your money, and you can buy cars in our game. You're welcome. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take your calls on anything going on in the gaming industry. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. I'm Jennifer Hale, sometimes known as Commander Shepard, sometimes known as Vasta Lashon, sometimes known as
Princess Marbox.
And you're participating with the Bobby Black Wolf Show.
That's right. Rob may have some amazing voice actors, but remember, I had a Mass Effect voice actor first. Just saying that. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not need to be a voice actor being interviewed by Rob at Dragon Con this year. But if you are, I will absolutely take your bumper. But all you have to do is leave me an MP3 with just your voice to the email address bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Before I open that up, I want to mention that I do understand, and I looked, and it looks like our chat over at live.vognetwork.com is down, and I apologize for that. That is the one part of vognetwork.com we don't control. Is that chat applet. We are on the Game Surge IRC network. Like I said, we are still using technology from really the 90s and stuff like that. But, you know, there are other ways to get in. If you get an IRC client, we actually have in the top left corner over at live.vognetwork.com, we have the name of the server that you need to connect to with that IRC client and the name of our channel. So that will get you in on any IRC client that you want, MIRC or whatever. Like, there are even apps now that you can get on both Android and iPhone that will get you an IRC client. We are making changes this year in 2018, which might render that not needed anymore. I don't want to mention any more about that because, once again, if we don't deliver on everything we want, then we'd rather you not know so you can't be mad at us for delivering less. So, but yeah, so we're hoping very soon, hopefully like before the end of the year, to be making some very fundamental changes and stuff. So now I am going to open up our Skype line and the toll-free number. The Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word, or you can call toll-free North America 1-888-36-GAME-1. We can talk about anything going on in the gaming industry. If I know some people have been at Evo. I wonder, you know, what's that like? If you have any tips on what I should be asking on some of those panels feel free. Those panels I am going to have a little bit more control over. So I will be doing a little more research. I actually do need to like do a little bit more research on what the kids these days call shoutcasting, because obviously it's a little different than what I do, which is technically also shoutcasting because I'm doing this on a shoutcast server. But it's totally different these days in esports world, and I will have to learn about it so I can ask meaningful questions if the audience does not have meaningful questions. So a lot of times at Dragon Con, the audience is more participatory, and so I'm basically just facilitating the participation with the audience at Dragon Con, unlike at like Southern Fried Gaming Expo where it's they want more fireside chat, where the moderator's actually running the show, and maybe you open it up for Q&A at the very end. Now, you know, at Dragon Con, it's like basically a lot of these panels, they're all Q&A, except for maybe like a couple of opening questions, salvos, and then really the audience a lot of times has better questions than I do. Tireclose says people just use the term streaming nowadays. Yeah, no, I know, but well, shoutcasting... So the term shoutcasting is actually the act, and I think I'm pretty sure this is what this is. It was a term that was popularized back in the StarCraft days, where basically people would watch a stream of like Korean StarCraft players or whatever, and they would use a shoutcast server to basically provide radio commentary. So since it was in Korean, usually the commentary was already in Korean or something if they're watching that stream. But that was a way that they basically it would be these commentators who were commentating these esports matches using shoutcast servers. And so they called it shoutcasting. You would also hear this term like in EVE Online. People would be shoutcasting the massive battles that were going, the PvP battles going on in EVE Online. Like there were war correspondents and stuff like that. So that's kind of the term. So basically... shoutcasting in this sense is being an esports commentator, and how you need to, like what you need to research about the game, what you need to do with your voice inflection, what tools you need, because it's a lot of these people that'll basically watch, like the Overwatch League, I bet. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is what it is. I might be wrong. This is what I'll be asking in the panel. But people could watch, like, Overwatch League matches instead of using the official commentary that is provided by the Overwatch League, they could have their own commentary and they could be their own commentators and stuff. And then that would get them gigs to do commentating at local events and stuff like that. So it's basically it's esports commentating is what the term shoutcasting means in 2018. So even though it was in the days before Twitch, they kept the term. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about at Dragon Con. So, but I am very, very much looking forward to Dragon Con this year. And some other people are going, I think it was confirmed Travis Donovan's coming back to Dragon Con. We're trying to get some other people to come up and hang out in the VOG suite. It's going to be awesome. Patrick Stewart signed on to new a Star Trek television series. I'm like, you know, it's good. It's a good month. SJ1Matt says, Dragon Con is on my bucket list. Yeah, yeah, no, it's definitely a thing. It is, and see, here's what I'll say, Matt. I know you've done, like, PAX and MAGFest and stuff. Dragon Con is a completely different beast than all those. Like, there is no other convention in the country that is like Dragon Con. It is a one-of-a-kind thing. And there are people that are trying to convince the powers that be that Dragon Con needs to move into a convention center and basically be the East Coast version of San Diego Comic Con. And I'm like, well, then what would we, you know, what would go back to the, you know, where would we go to get this uniqueness? And that uniqueness doesn't exist anywhere else. Tyler Law says, I hope they get some of the Next Generation cast to appear at Dragon Con. At the new Star Trek series. Yeah, so there's a new Star Trek series. That's what he was actually talking about, not Dragon Con. Although, I think it's a... So, if you're into Star Trek, I think this year it's a Voyager year. There's a lot of... Because they don't always bring in everybody from a series every year, so they concentrate on a few TV shows and bring those actors in. And on Trek Track, I think this year is really a Voyager year. So you've got the guy who played Tom Paris is going to be there. Garrett Wang is the director of the Trek Track. He played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager. He's actually the guy running the Star Trek track at Dragon Con. He's actually a track director. Him and there's a couple other... The guy who played Neelix is going to be there at Dragon Con this year. But anyway, that's not what Tiger Claw was talking about. Tiger Claw was mentioning about the Star Trek series. It's going to be post-TNG. It's actually going to be like 20 years after Next Generation, Voyager, and DS9. And basically looking at what Jean-Luc Picard's life is like 20 years later. So they're just talking about it right now. That basically, Patrick Stewart, actually, like, he was the one who broke the news that he's looking forward to returning to the character because of how much the character has meant to different people and how the character has meant much the character has meant to him all these years later. So he's actually going to go revisit the role, unlike Christopher Eccleston, who never wants to revisit an old role ever, and that makes me sad. So, yeah. That's it. So nobody was trying to call in, so I'm going to try. This is the new version of Skype, too. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you doing?
I am doing well. How has your No Man's Skying been?
It was great. So I heard you talking earlier in the show about the tip with the multi-tool and to get the enhancement in there that will allow you to get the upgrades. So here's the thing I wanted to mention because it's a little long for chat, but off stream, because I'm at the point where it's like I'm enjoying No Man's Sky so much. I do feel like sometimes very late at night when I know nobody's going to be watching, but I'm still awake, I still want to play No Man's Sky. So I did some play off stream last night, and I got onto a really terrible planet with like hellish frozen storms, like negative 200 degrees.
Wow.
I called the planet.
You found Alaska?
No. I actually named the planet literal Antarctica. That's what I called it. So. But anyway, the reason why I ended up landing there is because somebody had told me about an outpost there. So I went to the outpost, and it was one of those aliens where it says, the alien points at your multi-tool furiously. He wants you to hand it over, and you have two options. So I actually picked hand it over, and he said, he gives you a new multi-tool. And I was like, oh. So the multi-tool is like 21 slots.
Wow.
Right? But here's the thing. Like 12 of those 21 slots – have these like broken fuses, broken things that you will have to repair to be able to use that slot.
Right.
But that's
right.
Okay, because even without all that, it was still like five more slots than the multi-tool I had before.
Right.
So, but as part of that, I lost my advanced mining because that was on the old. So now I will have to do that again, but now I will have room to do that and the upgrade you were talking about. But there's also a tip is that look around for quests because you might just find a dude just like a guy is willing to give you his whole big frigate to to pilot. Somebody might give you that multi-tool he gave me said it was worth 2.4 million credits. And he just gave it to me. So, yay.
Yeah, no, I'm still enjoying it right now. I'm sure there will come a point where I'm like, okay, it's all the same stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for now I'm still enjoying the sense of wonderment. Even if like the galaxy I just went to is like the worst one yet. These planets are like horrible. Like they are nothing compared – or the ones in our starting galaxy are nothing compared to like these terrible planets. So yeah. I actually went back to Blissey so I could like mine the stuff to get another antimatter warp drive thing so I could just get past – the galaxy that I called Beth Ditto, because now I'm naming things A, B, C. So I had Aisha Tyler, Beth Ditto, and then the next one will be C. So these – or I suppose they're actually planetary systems, not galaxies. Somebody corrected me on a stream the other night. But the planetary systems I'm now naming A, B, C.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying it. I've been playing it off stream, obviously, but I'll be playing it on stream tonight so people can see my stuff. I can maybe finally die. I haven't died yet, thankfully.
I haven't died yet either, but hopefully they won't catch you screaming high-pitched at biological horrors because you want to find out what's these eggs over here.
Yeah, but see, I know what the eggs are, so I know not to touch them.
These look valuable.
They are valuable.
Not when I did it.
Well, you didn't completely destroy the egg.
Because
I saw it like when you went back. You're like, oh, this is the one where I did it. I'm like, yeah, you haven't finished destroying that egg. And then when you destroy the egg, then you can pick up the thing, and then you actually can jump up on the building, and they can't get you, and then they leave.
Oh.
The swarm subsides after, like, a minute. And then you go down, and you do the next one, and you get it. And then, like, when you try to go sell it, I mean, well, luckily, we've got teleporters. But like you can, that's when the space pirates will be like, "Ooh, you got something valuable. We're gonna come after you now."
Yeah, that's I almost that was the closest I got to death. That was also off stream, but I got raided bad. Like space pirates were holding like holding a ransom or something, and I was like, you know, F you, buddy. I'm not going to pay your ransom. And they attacked me, and it was hard. Like, that was the hardest fight I've done.
Yeah.
So I do want to point out, Dungeon Buster says I need to watch that clip. I did go ahead and post that to my Twitter account, which, by the way, new name after many, many years. My Twitter account is now Mr. Rob Roberts on Twitter.
Wow.
I am no longer Sky. And I could not go back to my old name. I found this out. You can no longer get a Twitter name that's less than 5 characters. So at least no one can have it. But unfortunately, I'd already hit the button before I realized I could never, like, I could not grab Sky again to use as a forwarder. So I will have to be thorough in making sure that all my stuff, including the business cards I will probably make for Dragon Con, thanks to the increased number of panels and visibility there's going to be this year, will have my new Twitter name, which, in all honesty, like, as much as like Sky is a part of my identity from the DDR Freak days, the reality is that's just not like the online name people know me as. And I think I feel weird talking about personal brand because it sounds so ego, but the reality is you do have to have consistency with your personal brand. So that was the catalyst for the decision.
Well, 2018 is a year of changing.
It sure is.
For us.
Sure is.
That's the problem. My personal brand is angry video game nerds already taken. So, you know, what else am I supposed to be?
So what are you doing? I know you're going to talk about this more on your stream, but what are you doing at Dragon Con? Because I know I can't even attend your first one, and I'm kind of sad about that.
So the conflict during the Friday 10 a.m., which is an interesting time for this. What a way to kick off the show, which I'm like, I'm usually not up that early. So this is already going to be a different type of Dragon Con. But the very first panel that's at the same time as your mobile panel is a Mass Effect voice actor panel. And I, as you can imagine, I can be a professional. I am a professional. That doesn't mean I don't have my fanboy moments. So being a fan of Mass Effect, this is very much a fanboy thing for me. So I will be moderating a panel with Mass Effect voice actors, including the voices behind Male Shepard, Jack, and Legion, which are all characters from Mass Effect 2 and 3. And, of course, M. Shep.
You need to ask him what he thinks about Vorta Dad.
You can send me whatever questions you want me to ask. I'll do it. Although I think the plan is, and Bobby kind of referenced this earlier, I would maybe start it off for like 10 minutes and then turn it over to the audience.
Yeah, so. And also that's going to be the fun one because I'm actually going to have to start my panel being like, by the way, these are not the people from Mass Effect. That's the next room over. And then I'll watch everybody stand up and leave.
Oh, stop. There's more mobile phone developers out there than you think. But I mean, this is perfect that you have like the more design and like building panels because that is what you're good at. Whereas, you know, I have the flashy. Not that you're not good at that, but
flashy you cursed on my show again.
Sorry. I have the flashy stuff. Things that you know, with Rocky and everything, I'm used to. So it'll be fun.
Well, and also, and to be fair, to let everybody else know, we were contacted by the track director, and he listed all the panels. He's like, "Which ones are you interested in doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you got like a lot of the stuff you asked for,
mm-hmm.
and I got a lot of the stuff I asked for. So it's like I even said I don't play Mass Effect or Overwatch or Five Nights at Freddy's, so I don't even care about being on those panels.
So. But I was, when I saw like Mass Effect and Overwatch, which I will be doing an Overwatch voice actors panel too, and that will probably be the biggest attended one, I would imagine. So I'm very excited about that. The voice actresses behind Mercy, D.Va, and Symmetra will all be on that panel. And that's like honestly like probably 3 of the characters I play the most in Overwatch, so I'm like really excited about that panel, like really like stupid excited.
And then you've got this Five Nights at Freddy's panel as well.
I am. That's an interesting one because that is actually going to be a live playthrough while the voice actors are there.
I guess you're just going to have to brush up on it on stream.
Well, okay, so funny story about that. So this is the one D.Va thing I pulled. So they actually asked me if I was interested in doing the live playthrough while I moderate the panel or if that would be too much to do both and they should have somebody else play the game while I moderate. And I just replied and said, it would probably be a good idea if somebody else plays the game. But I did try to explain myself. I said, I get a little too into the jump scares and stuff. I'm not sure that's the best idea. So I will
it's
be.
It's the best idea.
Well, I think there's a YouTuber that's going to be doing it instead. So that'll be exciting.
Let them be the drama person.
Yes. Yes. It'll be fun. But that's going to be a fun panel, too. I don't remember if that's a late night panel or something, but that's going to be it's going to be really fun. So, and then the fourth, I mean, since I named the other three, the fourth panel I have on the video gaming track is actually Twitch 101. Yep. So it's going to be myself. I'm moderating. I mean, I do have the perspective of having a Twitch channel, but I believe it's an engineer from Twitch will be there to kind of just talk about, like, why do you stream on Twitch? How do you do it? And I do need to kind of, because I have to admit, I'm not sure if we're going to be talking about it from a technical perspective or from a theological perspective. But honestly, a good panel would probably address
theological.
Both. What am I? Theory, theorizing, theo.
Oh.
What's the word I'm
the
looking
religion
for?
Of Twitch.
Yeah, sure. Well, it can be a cult, you guys. So maybe I'm not so far off in what I'm saying.
Yeah, and that was the only panel that we both said we would be good at moderating.
Yes.
That was the only overlap, which is fine.
Yeah.
I'll just be in the audience.
Isn't there a time conflict or no, not with that one?
I don't know.
Because I feel like there was a panel I saw where it's like, well, that's one of Bobby's podcasting things, so I have to do this other one. So. Okay.
Yeah,
might be the final one.
Yeah, because luckily, the podcasting track, since we're professional, registered professionals in there, they actually had our schedules in their system.
Yeah, so. That's nice, because I was really worried about that. I was like, how are these guys going to make sure they don't have a conflict? But it worked out. It totally worked out.
And then you've got four panels on the podcasting track, and it's going to be you've broken my record.
I'm excited. Eight panels altogether. I mean, that is a full day's worth of work spread out across 4 days. Right. But I am still really excited. It's going to be, honestly, the best Dragon Con yet. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I think my record is five panels at Dragon Con, all in the podcasting track. So I've broken my record, too. So we're both going to be very busy, and then we'll be playing Beat Saber in the ring.
Yes. That's for sure. Very, very possible that Extifer is going to make his first Dragon Con appearance in an unofficial capacity. He's obviously too late to get signed up on any of this stuff, and he doesn't really podcast anymore anyway. But also returning to Dragon Con this year, which I'm silly excited about, Travis Donovan's coming back.
Yes.
So, and obviously my first three Dragon Cons were with Travis Donovan, and more importantly, his wife.
Yes.
In case he's listening, I just have to bruise his ego a little bit, but also I adore Jenna. Yeah. So, but anyway, I probably wouldn't be as into Dragon Con if it were not for not just Bobby, but Travis as well. So I'm really excited that Travis is back.
It's going to be a wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
We're only four weeks away.
I know, crazy. I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, oh my gosh, my flight's in 4 weeks.
What else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Oh, well, Evo is going on this weekend, so we'll talk about a little bit about the news coming out of Evo. Lots of fighting game news, including some stuff that just broke right before the show. It's very interesting. We'll also talk about Fortnite, which is probably the biggest thing in gaming right now. A pair of stories about this. Apparently, parents, now instead of getting your kid tutored in math or English, you can get your kid tutored in Fortnite. I don't know. As much of a headline grab as it is, I actually think it makes sense. And this might shock you. I think this is actually kind of a good thing. And so I'll explain it when we get into it. The stage parents will always be a bad thing, though. But then we'll also talk about where Epic making a move to keep some money by doing some playarounds with Google. So we'll talk about that tonight as well. And many more, too. If you're not into Fortnite, we have lots of other stuff to talk about as well. Steam Store, Persona, Pokemon Let's Go, lots of other stuff.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I may or may not be on the air next week. I will let you guys know in our Discord, on my Twitter, sometime. I'll probably know tomorrow or Tuesday or, I don't know, maybe even on Sunday itself. May or may not have a show next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. So catch live and interact with the show directly. We will be back the following week. It is only for next weekend. And, I'm not, I don't really want to, get into about why we're missing the show. But I do kind of want to mention that just in case you need it, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. The Facebook fan page is facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. I didn't have to change my name to be able to be on Twitter. Or you can submit feedback on the episode pages over at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of our chatters. Unfortunately, a smaller list because the web chat on live.vognetwork.com no longer works, or at least it doesn't work tonight. But these are the ones that are here. So thank you very much, DC Nate, Ronma, Rob Roberts, Doom Plague, Fifth Dream, JD, Tiger Claw, Bowl, Dark Sakura, Dungeon Buster, Ellen Orchard, Loki, MXC, Raginator, Spiffy, and SJ100 Matt. Big apologies to those who could not get in. I will probably try to spend some of this week trying to figure out how to get more people in or what we can do on the web chat front. But you can always just get an IRC client, even on an app. So that's it. I will be playing some No Man's Sky on Twitch tonight. And, come join me over at twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. See you soon. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.